Gertrude stood in her living room admiring her work. The floor was swept to perfection, the table was set, and a welcoming fire was in the hearth. Soon her husband would return and praise her for such an immaculate household. She sat down by the window and waited for his cart to pull up. Gertrude squinted into the darkness. There was no familiar sound of wooden wheels rolling down the road, no clopping of horse hooves. What she heard was the frantic beat of footsteps running full tilt toward the cottage. Gertrude nearly jumped out of her skin when her husband Walter burst through the door. His hair was streaked with sweat, and something red speckled his face. Was that blood? Her eyes cast down to Walter's hands, and she gasped in shock. By his side was an axe, blade dripping with gore.
What happened? Where is your cart?
Walter looked up at her as if seeing her for the first time. He replied,
I left it on the road.
Before Gertrude had a chance to ask her husband to explain himself, he turned on his heel and ran to their window, axe raised. Though he was no longer looking at her, she could tell from the reflection in the window that he was searching the darkness wildly for something. He was not even blinking. A sound was growing louder above them, in the loft where they kept their corn. Walter cast his eyes toward the ceiling, lips pulling back into a fierce grin. Gertrude took a step back at his expression. He looked at her, saying through bared teeth,
It followed me here.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every other Saturday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. This week, we're telling the story of The Dog and the Sparrow, a lesser-known tale by the Brothers Grimm. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, this story features violence and several instances of cruelty toward animals. Please exercise caution for children under 13. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help. We also now have merchandise. Head to parcast.com/merch for more information. You can find previous episodes of Tales, as well as all of Parcast's other shows, on Spotify and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. The Dog and the Sparrow is one of many fables collected by the Brothers Grimm in their seminal fairy tale volume, Children's and Household Tales, published in 1812. But this is not the original version of the tale. The oldest known variant, the Dutch From a Dog and a Sparrow, was written in 1804, but texts of this version are difficult to come by, and so the contents of the story are known to few. Regardless, the Brothers Grimm's The Dog and the Sparrow is based on a story told to the Grimms in 1808 by Gretchen Wild, sister of Dorchen Wild, Wilhelm Grimm's wife. This version was later expanded upon by Dorothea Veman, a storyteller who was acquainted with the Grimms. Growing up in her father's tavern in France, the young Dorothea picked up all sorts of stories, myths, and legends from guests passing through. It's not unreasonable to assume that one of these was a variant on the 1804 Dutch version. Despite many changes in the details, the Grimm, Veman, and original Dutch renditions all start in the same place, with a woefully mistreated dog tied up by his master. The dog was hungry. Tied up outside his master's house, he struggled against the thick rope knotted around his neck. he could see a light in his master's window, but no matter how aggressively he barked at it, there was no response from within. Ever since the dog had come home drunk a few nights ago, his master had scorned him. But how could he judge the dog for having a good time? The man himself was often drunk. Human behavior made no sense to the canine. He collapsed, finally exhausted from this one-sided game of tug-of-war. The tree he was leashed to was thick and unyielding. He turned his head one way and then another, trying to wrap his teeth around the rope. When he finally managed to fit the cord within his jaws, he gnawed furiously. The prickly fibers of the rope bit into his tongue. He spat it out with a yelp. Then he walked in a small circle and sat down, resigned to his fate. The dog looked up. A small bird sat on the rope, looking down at him sympathetically.
"Why are you so sad, friend?" she asked.
The dog sat up on its hindquarters and answered,
"Because I'm very hungry and I have nothing to eat. My master has tied me up and I fear he has forgotten me."
With a few small hops, the sparrow jumped down the rope until she was closer to the dog's face.
"Come with me into the next town and I will find you plenty of food."
The dog jumped to his feet and leaped with excitement, wagging his tail. The sparrow circled above him, then dove and started pecking away at the rope as he watched with joy-filled eyes. In a few minutes, the rope snapped beneath the sparrow's beak. The two new friends set off toward the neighboring town, tail end of the rope dragging behind the dog. The dog looked up at the sparrow disbelievingly, a warm feeling spreading through his chest. Is this what freedom felt like? When they arrived at the town, the dog feared someone would notice he was not with his master and try to catch him. A memory flashed into his head of his master when he had wandered out during the night. The man glared down at him with fire in his eyes and a broken bottle raised above his head. The dog shook his head to clear the horrible image from it. Even after banishing the memory, parts of his pelt still prickled with fury. The thought of returning to the man filled him with dread. But he was able to follow the sparrow through the town without anyone raising an eyebrow. After several minutes of walking, the dog looked up at the sparrow.
"Are we near the food?"
The sparrow chirped in response.
"Yes, we are. Look up."
The dog followed the sparrow's eyes to a butcher's shop in front of them. The scent of freshly cut meat hit the dog's nose, and his mouth began to water. The two animals sneaked in through a side entrance. As soon as they stepped into the shop, they found their way blocked by an enormous figure. It was the butcher sharpening his knives. The enormous man wore an apron dappled with 100 shades of red, the evidence of a lifetime spent hacking animal flesh into pieces. The two animals slowly backed into the shadows by the door, afraid that he might turn and attack with his freshly honed blades. As he slid past the door, the dog's shoulder brushed against the worn wooden frame. Its heavily rusted hinges let out a creak as the door swung backward. The animals froze. Hearing the noise behind him, the man looked sharply over his shoulder, sending a ripple down his corpulent form and into his belly. But his gaze was not keen enough to detect the two beasts crouched up against the wall. A moment later, he shook his head and lumbered away, whistling a hollow tune as he went. Now that the room was free of the towering man, the dog saw what they had come here for. A shelf stacked high with steaks. He jumped up to try and snag one, but he was too short, and his paws caused the shelf to wobble dangerously.
"Shh, I'll grab it for you,"
the sparrow said, zipping to the very top of the shelf where the juiciest steaks lay. With some effort, she tugged and tugged until one came tumbling down into the dog's waiting mouth. The dog had never eaten such a delicious meal in his life. A single bite of this steak was more flavorful than any of the leftovers his master gave to him. He finished the first steak in a heartbeat, only to find two more laying on the floor waiting for him. He attacked these two with the same ferocity, completely ignoring all manners. He ripped the meat to shreds and licked the juices from the cold stone floor. The sparrow watched the dog eat with satisfaction. She was happy to have found a new friend to explore the town with. As the sparrow watched, she finally took stock of the dog's appearance. Though none of it showed in his perky manner, the dog's fur was graying and patchy in places. In the gaps between his fur, the sparrow saw the puckered crevices of old scars winding their way across the dog's back. Her heart ached for the poor creature. He must have suffered unspeakable torture from his former owner. When the dog was full, the sparrow suggested their next destination, a clearing in the woods where a friend of hers, the deer, lived. The deer had given birth that very morning and named the sparrow godmother of her child. They set off down the road once again, the dog trotting along with renewed vigor after the meal and the sparrow flying beside him. They had not gone far down the road when the dog's newfound energy started to wane. He looked up at his companion and said, "I'm tired. Do you mind if I nap a little so I can digest?" The sparrow did not mind. The dog's nap would give her plenty of time to go and fetch a present for the newborn fawn. She had never been a godmother before, so she wanted to be absolutely sure she was a good one. On her way back to the town, the sparrow passed a wine cart drawn by three horses in a triangle formation at its front. She paid it little mind when they passed, but a few feet down the road, she stopped. She just realized that her new friend was lying in the middle of the road, right in the cart's path. All thoughts of hunger forgotten, the sparrow turned and zipped back up the road, hoping to catch up with the cart before it rolled over the dog. When the cart came back in sight, it was only a few short feet away from the dog. The sparrow chirped with all her might, "Stop your cart, please!" The driver looked over his shoulder at the bird, nonplussed. His black hair hung about his shoulders, and his eyes were watery with drink. He questioned her, saying,
"Yeah? Or what?"
The sparrow landed on a nearby bush and chirped a warning at the driver.
"Run over my friend, and it shall be even worse for you in the end."
The driver listened to the bird, blinking lazily as he did so. He looked down to the dog, then back up to the sparrow, and then he shrugged.
"What can you do?"
The driver turned back and whipped his horses. The lead horse reared up and continued its way down the path. The other two followed suit, dragging the cart behind them. The sparrow dove toward the approaching wine cart. She didn't know what more she could do to stop the vehicle, but this tiny bird couldn't just watch as the cart ran over her friend. She chirped wildly, closing the distance as fast as she could, hoping against hope that the dog would wake up and run out of the way in time. Coming up, we'll discover the fate of the slumbering dog. Now, back to the story. The hooves of the approaching horses drew closer with every passing moment. The sparrow pecked wildly at the sleeping dog, trying to wake her friend. Even if the horses themselves didn't trample the dog, there was no way he'd avoid harm from the large wooden wheels. The dog grumbled in his sleep. There was no waking him. In a last desperate act, she tried to drag him out of the way by his tail. but he was too heavy for her small wings. The sparrow swooped out of the way just as the first set of hooves thundered over them. She hovered beside, helplessly, as the rest of the cart passed over the dog with a gruesome finality. The sparrow watched in horror as blood seeped from beneath the wagon. When it passed, it revealed the ruined body of her friend. The dog was crushed almost beyond recognition. The wagon, undaunted, rattled along, leaving matching tracks of dog's blood in its wake. The sparrow fluttered down to her friend to check if he was still alive. His tongue lolled out of his head. The sparrow could not help but notice a few fragments of gristle still caught in the dog's teeth, the last remnants of the meal the sparrow fetched for him. The sparrow took to the air and chased after the cart. In a few brief moments, she circled around the front of the cart and hovered inches away from the driver's nose.
"Cruel driver! This deed shall cost you all you have on this earth!"
Her eyes glinted with a kind of fury she had never felt before. The driver smirked.
"What harm can you do to me?"
and swung the back of his hand at her. She dodged it, and the cart kept rattling its way down the road, Sparrow close behind. While keeping pace with the cart, the sparrow took a moment to gather her thoughts. There was no way a small bird such as herself could do any direct harm to the man, but there had to be another way she could hurt him. The back of the cart was loaded down with large barrels which smelled of wine, each one capped with a cork the size of the sparrow herself, the perfect target. She dove and started to peck at the cork. The sparrow's neck ached by the 15th peck. She was no woodpecker, so was not used to this kind of strain, but she kept at it. Flakes of cork came away in her beak until she tasted wine. Good wine, too, but she was going to stay sober tonight. She gripped the pecked-out section of the cork and pulled with all her might. The sparrow hopped away and examined her handiwork. Wine gushed freely from the uncorked cask, running into the road behind the cart like a sumptuous red waterfall. She noted, with a twinge of sadness, that the wine blotted out the blood-red tracks left by the wheels. She perched on the back of the cart and waited for the driver to notice. Walter the driver watched the road ahead with resigned annoyance. His drink-addled mind was slowly coming to its senses. This business with the dog and the sparrow had delayed him greatly. He prayed that Gertrude would not be mad at him for being late. Tonight was their wedding anniversary, and with this wine he had bought at the market, their dinner would be perfect. He had stopped for one drink too many at the pub, it's true, but there was no way he could have anticipated being waylaid on the road by a pair of irritating animals. Wine. When he remembered the purpose of his errand, he finally noticed the sound of something leaking from the back of his cart, and when he sniffed the air, the scent hit his nose powerfully. The barrels had been properly sealed. He shouldn't be able to smell the wine so strongly. He brought his horses to a halt and leaped down from the driver's seat. At first, Walter thought the two red trails running from the cart were merely leftover carnage from the dead dog. But as he drew closer, he saw that the color between them was different. One was a much richer shade of red and ran freely instead of congealing. And then he saw the drops falling from the side of his cart. His fear was confirmed. Some of his precious wine had spilled. He ran over and, to his surprise, saw that the cork lay on the road several feet behind. Raising the barrel, he found that it was empty. He cursed.
What an unlucky wretch am I!
A voice came from nearby, one that sounded maddeningly familiar.
Not wretch enough yet!
It cried. At the sound of his horses panicking, Walter ran back around to the front of his cart. Sure enough, on the head of his lead horse sat the sparrow, pecking at the larger animal. The horse's eyes were wild, and it pawed the ground helplessly, not daring to rear up again in front of its master. Walter's fists tightened in fury. This sparrow sought to ruin him. In that case, he had better be rid of the infernal bird. He ran over to his seat and withdrew a hatchet. Walter approached the sparrow, eyeing it through his thick black eyebrows. The sparrow looked back. Walter was no expert in reading the expressions of animals, but he thought he saw a challenge in the bird's eyes. Moving as fast as he could, Walter raised the hatchet and brought it down with all his might on the bird. The horse collapsed onto the dirt, eyes bulging out of its skull in shock. The bird had dodged just in time, and Walter had buried his axe in his own horse's head. With a grunt, he wrenched the blade from the dead horse and looked back toward his cart, trying to find the infernal creature. A cold sweat broke out on Walter's back when he heard the noise coming from the back of his cart. No, no, he thought to himself. I cannot have been outsmarted by a bird. He rounded the cart once again to find his other two casks leaking freely. He let out a shriek and attempted to find the corks, but they were both gone. He attempted to stop up the barrels using his fingers, but the openings were too wide. In a matter of seconds, all his wine had drained into the dirt. A low moan escaped the man's lips. Once again, he said,
"What an unlucky wretch am I!"
The sparrow floated down to him, and before it spoke, he knew what it was going to say.
"Not wretch enough yet!"
Walter bellowed in fury and swung blindly with his hatchet. The sparrow flew back toward the front of his cart, but he did not care. His night was ruined. One of his horses was dead, and he would come home poorer than he had left it. All he wanted now was for the sparrow to die. He was so blinded by fury that at first he didn't notice when one of his stray swings struck another of his horses in the jaw. Something heavy struck him on the side of the head. It was the horse's hoof as it kicked up to avoid another strike. Walter reeled and collapsed on the dirt, dazed. His vision hovered in and out of focus. When he righted himself, he saw two of his horses lay dead, and the sparrow was sitting atop the third and final one. But the sparrow was now looking the other way. If he could just get a good chop in before it flew off, that's all he'd need to kill it. He got to his feet so fast his head swam, and then charged the bird, bellowing like a madman. But the sparrow was still too fast for the enraged driver. The horse tried to turn its head as the blow fell, but was not successful. The hatchet sank into the third horse's head, splitting its right eye in two. Then there was silence. The red haze of fury slowly receded from Walter's vision, and he found himself standing among a pile of dead horses, panting. There was no way he was getting that cart home now. The sparrow was nowhere to be seen. He pried the axe from his horse's carcass and looked around, blade held at the ready. But there was nothing. The road was empty. Was the sparrow finally done with him, now that he had nothing more to lose? As Walter stood in the road, wheezing and gasping for air, he heard a faint flutter behind him, then a chirp. He tightened his grip on the axe handle, ready to cut that cursed bird into a thousand pieces. He whirled at the sound and raised his axe, readying a warlike scream. But when he saw what had made the noise, his battle cry died in his throat. The branches were now covered in birds of all sizes and shapes, staring down at him. And in the center of all of them was the sparrow. Up next, the sparrow's revenge reaches its gruesome conclusion. Now, back to the story. The sparrow looked down from her tree at the murderer below her. All around her, the assembled flock was ready to aid her in her revenge. He'd killed her friend, the dog. Then he'd killed his own three horses. He was a monster. But the sparrow finally saw fear in the murderer's eyes. This was a good start, but he would feel a lot more than fear when she was done with him. He turned on his heel and fled down the road, holding his bloody axe to his chest. The sparrow waited for the man to vanish from sight. The other birds watched her intently, waiting for her direction. The sparrow flapped her wings and took to the sky, following the driver down the road toward his house. One by one, the other birds followed, ready for whatever new piece of revenge she had in mind for the man. As they flew down the road away from the abandoned cart, the sparrow told them what she meant to do. They were going to take everything the man had. He was going to die, all because he would not wait for a dog to get out of the road. When the house came into view, they all alighted in nearby trees, not daring to get too close. The sparrow could see the driver staring out from within, waiting for his pursuers. Then she saw an open window near the roof of the house. At her command, a thrush dutifully slipped inside to scout. When he returned, he chirped in delight.
"There is a loft in there, full of corn and wheat. It must be where they keep their food."
The sparrow replied triumphantly,
"Then they shall starve."
The flock of birds slipped one by one into the loft until it was full to bursting with wings and feathers. The sparrow was among the first to enter, but she did not touch any of the corn. Knowing that the dog would never eat again, she vowed to not touch another morsel until this man paid for his crime. So as the others tore into the driver's food supplies, she watched the staircase, waiting. The sparrow's patience was rewarded when the driver reached the top of the stairs and gaped in shock at the flock that had taken over his loft. Their eyes met. The driver yelled at them, voice cracking,
"Begone! Leave me be!"
The sparrow did not comply. She stated simply,
"Your cruelty will cost thee your life, driver."
With that, she took to the air and slipped out the window, leaving the rest of the birds chewing on the driver's food. Walter's wife, Gertrude, watched her husband descend the stairs slowly, his face deathly pale. When he said nothing, she asked,
"What is it, husband? What did you see?"
"Birds," he croaked out. "Birds eating all of our food."
Without elaborating further, he walked over to the fireplace and slumped down in a chair beside it. In all their years of marriage together, Gertrude had never seen her husband look so defeated.
"It's all because of a blasted sparrow," he grumbled,
seemingly more to himself than to her.
"It spoiled our wine, killed our horses, and now has robbed us of all our food. Now it wants to kill me."
Gertrude turned to the window to see a sparrow hovering by it. Without taking her eyes off it, she said to her husband,
"Is that the sparrow you're talking about?"
Before he could respond, the bird in the window chirped,
"Your cruelty will cost you your life, driver!"
Gertrude screamed as Walter's axe flew past her head and struck the frame of the window. The glass shattered, scattering shards all over the floor. The bird, unharmed, swooped into the room and began pecking at Walter. He flailed his hands before running over to the window and seizing the axe once again. It was all Gertrude could do to keep out of the way as the sparrow hopped from counter to counter, dodging Walter's blows. When he had given their dining room table such a blow that it cleft in two, Gertrude picked up a carving knife and chased after the sparrow as well. She did not know what her husband had done to anger this sparrow, but it had to be stopped before it wrecked her whole house. They pursued the bird throughout their cottage. It fluttered from surface to surface, and they were always just too late to catch it. In the chaos, they smashed glasses, tables, chairs, windows, everything it would alight on. Finally, Walter's hands closed tightly around the sparrow. Both of them stared down at their prey, wheezing from the chase. All around them, their house was in ruins. There was not a single chair they could sit on. The once roaring fire was now just sputtering embers. By this point, Gertrude's rage had grown to match her husband's. She asked,
"Shall I kill her while you hold her here?"
Walter shook his head, showering the bird with beads of sweat.
"No, it would be too easy a death. I will eat her."
As Gertrude watched in amazement, Walter opened his mouth and swallowed the sparrow whole. With a tremendous gulp, it was gone. The two of them looked at each other for a long moment, relieved that the night of violence was finally over. Gertrude laughed, and her husband began to laugh as well. They no longer cared about their ruined dinner or their destroyed home. They were rid of that infernal sparrow. A choking sound interrupted Walter's laugh. He retched and his neck distended before Gertrude's eyes. The bird was forcing itself back up his throat. He clamped his mouth shut, but then slowly, inexorably, the bird forced it open. The head of the sparrow peeked out, beak first. Walter's face was turning purple. He clearly could not breathe through the bird lodged halfway in his throat. He held out a hand to Gertrude. She looked down. In it was the axe. His meaning was clear. Kill the bird. Now. Fearing her husband would choke to death if she did not act soon, Gertrude took the axe and aimed it carefully at the bird's protruding head. She warily lined up the blade so it would not hit her husband, and swung. As the axe traveled toward its intended target, the sparrow finally freed itself from Walter's mouth with a wet popping sound. The bird's force carried the man's head forward with it, and the axe caught Walter right in the temple. Gertrude stood there, eyes wide in shock. Her husband stood as well, blade firmly embedded in the side of his skull. Then, like a puppet whose strings had just been cut, he dropped to the floor. Tears welled in Gertrude's eyes, and she looked to the sparrow, hovering at eye level. Before she could do anything about it, the bird zipped to the window and vanished out into the night. Gertrude was left alone, standing among the debris and carnage. The sparrow sailed down the road, flush with the victory she had achieved over the cruel driver. But the feeling did not last long. Soon her heart began to weigh heavy in her stomach again. When she alighted by the dog's body, there was no joy left in her. The dog's blood had dried around his body, and with her thirst for revenge satisfied, the true tragedy of the night began to sink in. The dog had lived a life under the thumb of a cruel master, only to be killed by a different cruel man on his first day of freedom. Solemnly, the other birds gathered around the body and began to collectively hoist him up and carry him off the road. All that was left was a lonely cart and a trail of blood and wine in its wake. The Dog and the Sparrow features many hallmarks of the Grimm style, including their fondness for violence, repeated call and response between adversaries, and a moral takeaway that seems clear at first, but only gets murkier the more you think about it. One of the alternate titles used for this story is Loyal Godfather Sparrow. In an edition where the sparrow is male rather than female, this title references the sparrow's protectiveness towards their friends, as well as their literal role as godparent to the fawn at the beginning of the story. Over the years, this character detail, along with most of the more human behaviors of the animals, were removed. While it's easy to read this story as a tale of noble animals versus cruel humans, certain details complicate this reading. The driver's horses, for instance, become victims to the sparrow's quest for revenge, or the driver's wife, who was guilty of nothing besides being protective of her husband and their household. Perhaps this is intended as a warning. Revenge may be sweet, but it can be all-consuming, and even innocents who had nothing to do with the original crime will fall victim to it. And all because of a single act of careless cruelty. It is a pointed message meant as a warning to anyone who has ever hurt someone weaker than themselves. If you act with careless cruelty and abuse your power over others, you may wind up inadvertently destroying everything that made your life worth living. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. You can find all previous episodes of Tales, as well as all of Parcast's other shows, on Spotify and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Several of you have asked how to help us. Well, if you enjoy the show, the best way to help is to leave a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll see you next time. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Kenny Hobbs, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Paul Liebeskind, Maggie Admire, and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Robert Teamstra. I'm Vanessa Richardson.